Today we continue to explore the book of Jeremiah and look at the different ways that he could be a mentor to us, to teach us about our faith journey, to look at, and again, we've been looking at the way he was called, we've been looking at what it means to be a prophet, and today we're going to look a little bit farther into some of the things that he was called to do as a prophet. You know, I love Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. To me, that's a beautiful song. It invites us to come and to rest in the fact that God loves us way beyond the brokenness of this fallen world, way beyond the actions that we've had in our past, way beyond successes and mistakes that we've made in life. Reminds us that God knows what's going on in each and every one of our hearts and invites us to come just as we are. We'll be looking at Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. This is one of those messages that really, I would love to go back and change the title that's in the bulletin. In fact, somewhere about Friday I probably would have done that, but as my children would tell you, I'm too cheap to do that. So I just tell you that rather than calling it Don't Believe the Lies, I would call it The Greeter You'll Never Forget. You know, we live in a world where greeters are a part of everyday life. When you walk into a restaurant, there's a host or a hostess that often will meet you there. And if they don't, and they're supposed to, you probably notice that. You may make note of it in mind, and you may make note of it in many conversations to follow. Sometimes they tell you where to hang your coat. Sometimes they wait till the coat's hung and wait for you to come forward to see how many people need to be seated. If you've had people over to your house, you've probably had the experience of being a greeter there, inviting them to come in, sharing with them again where to hang their coat, pointing out to them places that they might need to know throughout the building as the night goes on. Certainly Walmart has brought greeters to life in a very real way. They've seen the importance of greeters. They pay somebody to be there at the front door for all kinds of reasons. And you meet people with all kinds of personalities doing that job. Certainly we experience greeters here in church. We come in each week. Bill and Chauncey or maybe Gary or someone else meets us there at the door. Handing us a bulletin. Saying good morning. Offering us a greeting. Inviting us to come in. For many, we know to come in and take a seat. For some, it's an invitation that's extended verbally to come and to find a seat, to point people in different directions as well. It's been studied by churches that what happens in those first 10 minutes of coming into the church, and probably if we really studied it, the first 10 minutes of coming into anything that we experience in life, that really the stage is set for how we're going to feel. Whether we feel welcome, whether we feel connected, whether we feel pushed to the side, whether we feel overlooked. All of that, much of that, happens in the first 10 minutes. So today, that's where we meet Jeremiah. Jeremiah's been invited to be a greeter. He's been invited to come down to the temple gate, and stand there and to meet the people as they come into worship. So as I share with you what happened, what Jeremiah is called to do, I want you to think about when you came into church this morning. When you saw Bill or Chauncey at the door. When they handed you that bulletin and said good morning to you. I want you to imagine Jeremiah standing right there next to you, next to them, greeting you as well. Jeremiah chapter 7. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions and I'll let you live in this place. Don't trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and you do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm,
then I will let you live in this place. In the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, we are safe. Safe to do all these deceptive things. Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers to you? But I've been watching, declares the Lord. May God add His blessing not only to the reading and to the hearing, but to His Word as it would continue to come alive in each of our lives and in this world that we live in. So did you think about what it would have been like if Jeremiah met you at the door this morning? What would you have thought if that was the message that met you before you walked through the doors? Words spoken in those first few minutes really can have an impact. I've seen that for myself. I remember the first time at Wesley Seminary, I went across the street to Metropolitan United Methodist Church. It's a huge sanctuary. It's one of these cathedral sanctuaries that's designed to help you look up to God. Because if you're going to look at the ceiling and the inanimate stuff that's up there, you're going to have to look up to God. You may have seen Metropolitan United Methodist Church before. There are several senators that have been buried from there. The president worships there. There's different presidents that worship there from time to time. I remember that first day, like it was yesterday. I walked through the doors and into this incredibly beautiful space, overwhelmed by all that was going on, in awe of the architecture and the work that must go into keeping this place up. It was a contemporary, informal, early morning service. I remember reaching out, taking a bulletin from the usher's hand, from the greeter's hands, and saying, wow, what an incredibly beautiful place this is. To which he responded, and yes, we're trying to keep it that way. I can't tell you what the pastor preached. I can't tell you what the choir sang. I can't tell you, but I can tell you they were from Russia. That I do remember. I can't tell you what hymns we sang. But I can tell you that I spent the next hour wondering and reflecting and thinking on what had been said. And as I pointed out before, my kids will tell you that I do tend to overthink things. Jeremiah greets the people at the door and offers them an invitation to look deep into their own hearts and to see where they are with God and all that's going on in the world around them. God has watched the people wander farther and farther away to worship different gods and to chase after things that He knows will not bring them satisfaction, will not make them whole in life. He's watched them reach out and hurt each other in deep and powerful ways. He's watched people that are fatherless, and He's watched widows that have been forgotten. He's watched orphans that are going hungry. And finally, God comes to one of those moments in history, one of those sacred places and times where God says enough is enough. And He says, sends Jeremiah down to the gate. Not to say that God's had enough with you. Not to say there's no hope for the future. But to say if you'll only look into your hearts and the way you're living life and treat each other in even greater way, and even in better ways, in just ways, I'll turn from about what's about to happen. The people were living a good life. The exile hadn't happened. But Jeremiah knew it was coming, and in fact would live long enough to see it happen. God offers him a warning, saying, come back to me. Forget all the stuff that doesn't matter and worship me. Don't think that just because the church is there and the lights are on and somebody might wander through and pray once in a while that everything's going to be okay. Jeremiah says to the people, this is all about you too. What God wants is a relationship with each and every one of us, and that we all have responsibility in living out that relationship and how it not only impacts our lives, but the lives of all of those around us. We live in a world where a lot of people make different assumptions about their church, about the church, and about the faith, and about how it comes alive in the world. And they're not always true. They're not always rooted in reality. I remember about 5 years ago being down in Mount Snow, the disaster response conference. It was a beautiful fall day. The speaker was incredibly thankful to be there. She was out of a busy hospital in Washington. However, she'd spent the last 2 weeks living and caring for people out of an airport down in New Orleans. She'd been coordinating the evacuation efforts following Hurricane Katrina. However, it wasn't her first time in New Orleans. She'd been there the year before when the infamous tabletop exercise took place, when they really looked at what would happen if a storm the size of Katrina were to come ashore. And it was there that as they looked at the carefully laid out plan of what would take place after that, that they realized that there were a few flaws. And somebody said, what happens if the fact that we're below the sea level gets in the way, and those levees that have stood for so many years give way and all that water comes in? Now, there were many that were sitting at that table, you can be sure, saying in the back of their minds, that ain't going to happen here. However, one leader at the table, whose name will remain anonymous because we don't need to go there today, said, we know we'll be okay because the church will take care of us. Now, what he meant by that, I don't know. Was that a faith statement? That God's not going to leave us in the middle of it? Maybe. Maybe it was, well, we've got a lot of caring people in the church here, and they'll all come together and do what needs to be done. Maybe it was, wow, the churches down here are really solid buildings, and the water won't tear them apart. Why he said it doesn't matter. The point that I'm trying to make from that is, it wasn't the truth. The fact of the matter is, just because the churches were there in the middle of it all didn't mean that the storm wasn't going to come. We know the rest of the story, and we know the storm did come, and we know that the churches in the neighborhoods, while they certainly, and the churches around the world, certainly played a role in the recovery of that, it didn't keep it from happening, and it didn't allow people to come through it smoothly. In fact, there are many people's lives who are still turned upside down by it today. And will be for many years to come. And sometimes we can make their own assumption. Sometimes there are many people who make that assumption about churches for other reasons as well. They feel if hard times come, that they should be able to pick up the phone and call the church and be able to get a check or be able to get this or be able to get that. And I'm not saying that we don't have a place reaching out and caring for people in deep and powerful ways. But I am saying that the only way that care happens is when all of us are a part of it. When each person plays a role in that situation. It's not just our salvation doesn't come from the church. And when I say salvation, I'm talking about more than the opportunity to go to heaven when it's all over with. When we've endured all those heavy seasons that seem to come, sometimes one after the other, when they're all over and done with, and we take our last breath and go to heaven and it's over with, and we meet God in a new way, that's not the salvation I'm talking about here. Because the Jewish people, rooted in all of these stories that are lifted up, is the fact of what Jeremiah said today. God is watching. And God cares what goes on. And God brings salvation to us one day at a time. God delivers us from one situation to the next. Sometimes by helping us to avoid those situations. Sometimes by giving us what we need to get through those situations. The words that these people heard as they came into the temple and came through the temple gate that day, I'm sure made many people uncomfortable. Just as it would make every one of us uncomfortable if we met Jeremiah standing at the door. But it reminds us that rooted in all of this is that God is really more concerned about our salvation and our relationship than our comfort in life.
Let me explain what I mean. How many have been in those places as a parent? Maybe the parent of a young child, maybe a parent of a teenager when it really starts to get hard. Maybe when it's a parent of an adult when I can't imagine how hard it becomes. But when you know that that child is into a place or doing things that they just don't belong doing. It's a tough place to be, isn't it? Trying to find the right words to confront that situation to say, man, I love you, but this is going to lead you into a disaster. Knowing full well that those words may not avert the disaster. Because let's face it, there's some things that we just have to try for ourselves. There's some times that we've just got to go through the school of hard knocks. This is one of those parental moments where God meets the people where they're at through the voice of Jeremiah, who has incredible courage and selflessness. He's willing to put his own thoughts about what this is going to be about and what's going to happen when he does it aside, and to do what he's called to do. Now, what does it mean for all of us today? Well, I wonder what God is saying to each one of us. I wonder what things we need to put aside that are keeping us from experiencing the depth of God's love and the heights of God's joy. I wonder in what ways we're called to be like Jeremiah as individuals and as a church. To what situations in life are we called to speak to? To what injustices are we surrounded by and maybe even numb to that we're called to speak up to? More importantly, where is it that God calls us to put our thoughts into actions and to reach out and to treat people in even more just ways, more caring ways, speaking up for those who can't speak for themselves rather than being silent? You know, we live in a difficult world where all kinds of injustices take place every day. Carrie and I were talking this morning on our way down from Moncton about an article she'd seen on the internet about a school that's had 4 suicides, all by kids who were being bullied. One because of the way they, you know, for all different reasons that just don't matter in life. But how many people stand by silently watching that happen? How many things are happening around us every day that we need to reach out to and to care for? We reach out to those that we know. We reach out to those when it's comfortable and it feels right. But there are also times when it's uncomfortable to reach out. God also puts us into situations where we need to reach out to people that we haven't reached out to before. To people that we don't know as well. And give them a hand up to help them through whatever they're dealing with. Jesus is the light of the world. And I was listening to the choir up in Moncton. They were trying to pick up different songs for the fall or something. And there was this one song that they started singing that the words just were uplifting and they were powerful for a minute. And first they talked about the fact that they talked about Jesus being born and coming alive and giving His life on a cross. But then the whole sound of what everybody was singing and how those words even sounded on the page when they started talking about the fact that Jesus is alive. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that same Jesus that we talk about, we learn about in the Scriptures, that we sing about in the songs every week, is alive. Not watching in a way that He's ready to condemn and tear down, but watching in a way He's inviting us to come to enjoy God's love in deeper ways and share God's love in greater ways. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Good and gracious God, we give You thanks for Your amazing grace and Your amazing love and for the many ways that it is made known. We thank You for the many opportunities that You give us to make known Your love as well. We pray that You'd teach us to take advantage of them in even greater ways every day. We thank You that You meet each one of us right where we're at. That even when life seems heavy, even when we just seem weary, even when it seems hard to keep our eyes open,
to get through the moments of the day, that it's there that you meet us, inviting us to come and to rest in your love, to put aside those things that separate us from your love, to act justly towards others, to care for the strangers in our midst, to love people like you've loved us and like you love us each and every day. So, Lord, we look forward to what you will do with your word as it lives and grows in our hearts. As we ask all of this and so much more, in Jesus' precious name, amen.